Welcome to the Foolish Racing Money Idea Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:43 p.m. That is the Central Time. Today is September 30th, and I thought we'd kick off with Cheniere Energy because it's breaking out to new all-time highs, and that's a reflection of it being a really good time to be selling natural gas, because there is a increasing global competition to secure cargoes. So certainly we've seen a big pop on the upside again in here today from the UK price, and it was up $24. So again, that's another 10% advance. And when we then think about the acceleration, well, it's been driven by this incredible supply inelasticity. So on the one hand, the supply inelasticity has been driven by the reluctance of energy companies to invest significantly in additional new supply. On top of that, there are geopolitical considerations, and not least because Russia is resupplying itself and refusing to increase the supply that it's sending into Western Europe in a big manner, at least not until they see movement on opening up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. But then Brazil's drought is contributing to that country also trying to import more LNG cargoes. So, and then of course you have China, which in here today said that they've told their utilities to do whatever is necessary to secure sufficient supplies for this winter. So everyone wants to buy, and there is a shortage of supply. And of course, this is also leading on from the not unusual tail off in supply growth from the USA in response to storm season, which basically happens every year. It's just that this year, with all of the rather difficult time that the energy sector has had with bad press, then there just isn't the supply around. Now, of course, these kinds of accelerations do not last indefinitely, but it was looking like we'd had some inconsistency in the middle of September, but it never followed through on the downside, and we continue to see upward pressure, and a clear downward dynamic is going to be required to stem the advance. Now, we also had a pop on the upside earlier on today in iron ore, but it was not held. And the challenge here with iron ore is that China hasn't got enough electricity, so they're not going to be permitting a lot of rebound in steel production either. And most particularly with the Olympic Games starting in February, then there's the potential for downward pressure over the next few months on some of those polluting metals. Well, that is also then contributing to upward pressure on the aluminium price. And there's a shortage of aluminium for exactly the same reason. There's, and of course, iron ore is the input for the steel price, but there's a shortage of bauxite because of Equatorial Guinea. So that's putting upward pressure on aluminium. Now, if that were the only thing that was going on, well, perhaps the global economy would look past it all. But what we've also started to see is that the palm oil price is breaking on the upside. And palm oil is used for biodiesel, but it's also included as an ingredient in a whole host of other products. And then on top of that, it's used for cooking as well. So the fact that it is breaking out to new all-time highs, and that this price is considerably higher than the levels that occurred before the big bull market in the early 2000s, well, what this is suggesting is that we are moving into a new price environment, and that this 12-year range has now been completed on the upside. We're also starting to see that soybean oil prices are firming from the region of the trend mean. So this is also suggestive of some substitution, and that there will be additional upward demand for soybeans overall. We've also seen that China is looking to secure additional supplies of cotton, so the price has also popped on the upside in here, and this looks increasingly like it has completed the base formation. It's been ranging below 100 since the big pop on the upside in 2010 and 11. And now we're looking like a very clear base formation completion in here as well. So we see plenty of volatility in commodity prices. And I think there's at least some argument that we can say that some of these events are transitory in nature, that they're not going to last indefinitely. But they all also help to expose the fragility of the global supply chain, that we have increasing volatility in politics, we've increasing volatility in weather, and then of course the healthcare situation and the persistence of inconvenience relating to the coronavirus. These are all contributing to fragility in the global supply chain. And then, of course, we have the continued upward pressure on the shipping rates as well. So the Baltic Dry Index has cleared the 4,000 level. We're at highs not seen since 2008, and there is nothing on the chart to suggest that this recovery isn't going to persist. Well, against that background, stock markets today on Wall Street were soft, but off the lows, and we're at the last day of the quarter. So stocks really haven't gone anywhere for the last quarter. And we can see that the low today was at the high of the day back on the 1st of July. So we've had a lot of back and forth over the course of the last 3 months, and prices really haven't gone anywhere. And it's likely that we're getting at least some reorientation of portfolios. Historically, the fourth and first quarters of the year are the best performers, and October has generally tended to deliver occasional bouts of volatility. So there's the potential that we could be looking at an attractive buying opportunity at some point over the next few weeks, and potentially that it may even start tomorrow, considering that we are at a point now where a lot of investors are going to be reorienting their portfolios. And that may have also been a factor in the rebound we saw today in gold. So gold prices were up $29. It wasn't quite able to hold on to all of the gain. The low in here today is right around the lows from August. We obviously had the spike lower for a very brief moment, but on a closing basis, we're really not all that far away from these lows. So it's a natural area where we could anticipate some support coming through. What we need to see is follow through on the upside, and we need to see this downward bias that's been evident for all of September broken. But if we do see that, well then my contention that this has been just a very lengthy period of consolidation, and that we're coming out the other end of this corrective phase would be more convincing. And when we look at this over the longer term, it just looks like a consolidation in the region of the all-time peak. And it's not all that unlikely that we just get this rounding characteristic. And it's only at the beginning of that process right now. But and we will need to see upside follow through. And it always looks better in hindsight when we see these rolling rounding characteristics. So we're in real time now, and there's an article of faith is required when the consistency of the trend isn't quite there yet. So we're at that exact point right now. And silver prices having broken downwards yesterday, they were in positive territory today, but not in an especially dynamic manner. and it is pushing back above the $22 level. Upside follow through, and again, this break in the sequence of lower rally highs over September would really help to suggest that this is a failed downside break. And if it is a failed downside break, well, then we would give the benefit of the doubt to an additional move back up towards the upper side of the range, which is currently around 30. So we're certainly at a pivotal period for the precious metals right now. And the gold shares were also a little bit steadier in here today and testing the $30 area, but not quite closing above it just yet. So I think there are straws in the wind to suggest that we're coming towards the end of this corrective phase, but we haven't had the convincing evidence just yet. Now, when we look at global markets, well, Australia was up in a really quite dynamic manner in here today. And what I thought was also interesting was that the leading advancer had, which was Orica, had this very clear upside Q reversal. So Orica produces packaging material, but it also supplies explosives for the mining sector. And that's a very large upside key reversal, and it's now testing the sequence of lower rally highs. So if we get anything that's even looking remotely like upside follow through, it will have broken a more than 2-year downtrend and bouncing from the lower side of a very lengthy range as well. When we then think about other markets that had nice upward dynamics today, well, Indonesia is another, and it bounced pretty emphatically from the region of the trend mean, but it's being led higher by some of the largest companies in the index. It's heavily weighted by banks. So when we look at the Jakarta Financials Index, well, then that's also steadying in the region of its trend mean. In fact, unfortunately, I hadn't looked at this beforehand. They have stopped updating that. So let me just pick up the largest constituent of it, and which is Bank of Central Asia, and that is bouncing and doing so rather emphatically from the region of the trend mean. Being too smart by half, I'm afraid, by looking at the sector rather than the individual security. So we're seeing isolated incidences of returns to demand dominance in various stock markets. Then, of course, there's also the additional point that the dollar has been resurgent over the course of the last couple of weeks. And then the big question has to be, gold generally tends to do less well when the dollar is strong, but when people are buying the dollar as a safe haven, then gold can do well at the same time. And that would appear to be what's going on right now. So there's been a lot of shorts in gold, and we're at the end of the quarter, so some of those shorts are being taken off. And then the big question is, are we going to have a wider process of consolidation in stock markets? And I do think that that is likely, that we're in a process of mean reversion and we're not quite done with it yet. And that should help to support gold. And we still have these inflationary pressures. And then, of course, there's the additional big question for bonds, because the 5-year yield was a little softer in here today and it closed back below the 1% level. So there is the potential here that with the Biden administration's plans for a $3.5 trillion stimulus package to remake practically the entire economy, well, they seem to be withering on the branch. Then that's removing the potential for outsized additional spending, which should be beneficial for government bonds because there would be fewer bonds issued. So that could help to bring yields back down. And that would be a benign influence for the wider market. It was the pop above 1% was deemed to be something that was a selling signal for a lot of equity investors. So if those yields start to come back down, well, then that might be a factor in encouraging people to come back into the stock market. So we've definitely seen that portions of the NASDAQ have been under pressure, and it's been leading on the downside, and I think it is susceptible to some additional easing and unwinding of the short-term overbought condition. And the Russell 2000 has been ranging now for longer and was also looking like susceptible to some additional consolidation over the course of the last week. And these are, I think, where the risks are, that we could get some underperformance in these sectors, which have been very much tied to growth and to yields staying lower for longer. So what happens in terms of that 5-year yield? If it can continue to come back down, well, then that should ensure that we're going to see some dip buying coming through next week. If, on the other hand, inflationary pressures gain the upper hand and we see additional upward pressure on yields, well, that's going to then contribute to greater emphasis on real assets and also real cash flows. So that would favor the value sector. So we're at this interesting juncture. And of course, then if we're thinking about inflationary hedging, well, emerging markets are raising interest rates. Colombia raised their rate for the first time in years today because inflation is outstripping their central bank's expectations of what it would be. And then you have Indonesia, which has passed its budget, which is looking at trying to contain its deficit. Then we have countries like Australia, which benefit enormously from continued upward pressure on commodity prices. So it's countries that have got commodity exports and countries that are more like emerging markets, which have had historic inflationary pressures. They tend to do better in this kind of environment because they've got plenty of experience with dealing with inflation. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.